Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, here it is. Another Thursday evening. And we talked last Thursday, and we talked last month about the whole idea of using your feelings. And we've got to remember that feelings are the life of the organism. And with your treatment work, which means prayer, and with your affirmation, you must use feeling. And you must come from that feeling. Whatever you want, you realize is already done. Then you have to sit. And how does that feel when you have what you want? When you become what you wish to be? How does it feel? And use that feeling. I can demonstrate anything in your life when you use a feeling. My friend Joyce Reynolds, who's called a motivator, a one or a thousand, she always says you must hook it with a feeling from here, from your solar plexus. You throw it out, you hook it, and you bring that back, and you use your feeling to reel in what you want. And what we do is we don't stay in our feelings. We talk ourselves out of the feeling, or we forget the feeling. And we go into our head, and we think about it, which is all well and good. And keeping focus and intention is all well and good. And visualizing, all well and good. But it's always going to boil down to your feeling. And it's going to boil down to how are you feeling about yourself. One of the main things why people do not demonstrate, and why they do not demonstrate money, is because this thing that we call race mind, which I've said over and over, is very insidious. And we do not realize how powerful that race mind is. And one of the things, remember, is to watch what you're saying to yourself, to catch your vocabulary, and to be able to change your vocabulary. And the word in our vocabulary, which does not help us, is enough. Enough. Because we don't feel that we have enough, that we are enough, or that we do enough. And when you come from that premise always, there's not enough time. Anytime you use that enough, you're putting yourself into race mind, which is causing lack, limitation, and telling you that there's scarcity out there. And you cannot demonstrate while you are still holding that idea of scarcity. And we think that we don't have that till you hear yourself say, oh, I don't have enough time. Oh, I don't have enough of that. Oh, there's not enough to go around. There's always enough to go around. I don't know, when I was a child, food seemed, if we made food for six people and two or three other people dropped in, we always had enough food somehow. We could always extend something. It's amazing how there's always enough to cover everything. Always enough to cover something. And that's what we have to realize, that there is enough of everything. The other thing we do is we like to stockpile things. And we think that all that stockpiling, if we have tons of money in the bank and something, we think our net worth means something to us. And your net worth doesn't mean anything. It's what you're thinking about yourself that means something. Because you know tons of people that have money, but it's not enough for them. And they don't feel good about themselves or anything. Their net worth may be billions of dollars, but their self-worth isn't there. So you have to work on your self-worth. And when you're in business and so forth, it's the self-worth that gets you your paycheck. How much do I think that I am worth? You're the one who has to give yourself a raise all the time. You say, you have to say, oh, now I am worth more than that. But we don't do that. We let other people tell us what we're worth. You have to know what you are worth and be able to charge for that. This idea of having enough, we often talk about our daily bread. And if you have enough to get through the day, you have enough. And it's only by staying in that idea and knowing that you have enough for the day that you can move then to the next day. You all remember Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa had a multi-million-dollar business going. She had, I think, 400 centers in 102 countries. And she never had a surplus. She never had any money in the bank. It just took care of itself. She always knew that there was enough. It had to be so. We think there isn't enough, and we think we need more than enough. So we're hoarding things, and we're stopping the supply. Know that you have enough, always. And then start with that premise that this universe that we live in is always enough, you see. That there's always abundance and prosperity going on in the universe. And then you can translate that into money. But when you think there isn't enough of something, anything, you have stopped that whole thing. So during your day, remind yourself, oh, there's enough. Because there's always enough air. There's always enough sunshine. We have to know those things, that we are supplied with all of these things. But we get into the idea of lack and limitation and scarcity by thinking that there is not enough to go around. There's always enough to go around. It will always work itself out. So try to remember that when you're doing that. Then with your treatment work, that it's already done, and then always you have to go back and make yourself believe that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. People say to me, yes, but I'm not quite there yet, and how do you know I know this and all? Well, you know perfectly well that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, because you're connected to this thing that we call God. You're connected to this thing that we call God. So you know that you matter to God, that God would be incomplete without you. So you have to know, oh, therefore, if I matter to God, I must learn to matter to myself. I must learn to do that. Everything that we do is an inside job. It's a do-it-yourself project. People are always waiting for somebody else to make them feel worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. Give that idea up. Do that for yourself. Do that always for yourself. Then you have no one to blame, and you cannot complain, you see. We have to learn to raise our own selves. You see, we're grown-ups now. We have to do that. I never thought I'd become a grown-up. I never thought I'd become an adult. But here I am. Lo and behold, I have done that. So now I have to give up all blame for something outside of me. You know, I don't blame my parents for anything. I don't blame the economy for anything. I don't blame the government for anything. You have to get out of that blame routine. As soon as you get out of that blame routine and know that you are always the cause under your own experience, excuse me, then your life changes again. Because it's a whole new way to think about things. Because we spend so much time putting things outside of ourselves and thinking, what will somebody else say about this, or what is going on here, or this is going on, or the economy, look at the economy. All of that is outside. All of that is outside. The only thing that matters is what's going on inside of you. Remember, Emmett Fox said, this is a mental world. And if we could do anything, teach children that they live in a mental world, you see. And once you realize, it's my mind that's creating this. It's my mind that's creating this. Many people, and myself included, love sex. And we think sex is a physical thing. Sex is a mental thing. It's always going to be a mental thing. It's what you're thinking about sex that turns you on, not what's in front of you. So you see, it's always inside of you. So you get that feeling. If you can get a good feeling by thinking a fantasy, a sexual fantasy, then learn to think fantasies of how am I going to feel when money is always available to me, when I get that house, when I get that partnership, when I get that. Use that. Use that. Remember, the greatest tool you have is your imagination. Learn to use that imagination. I just read recently where the imagination, and I love this, is your soul talking to you. It's your soul talking to you, your imagination. And the most wonderful thing about imagination is this. It is not bound by your past history, your beliefs, your viewpoints, and your opinions. Imagination doesn't deal with any of those things. But in our life, we always bring all that into play. So, use your imagination. It has no boundaries to it. And it has nothing to do with the past, you see. Wonderful, wonderful freedom there in that whole idea. Wonderful freedom. So use your imagination. We call imagination, we use that word imagination, but it's fantasy, it's visualization, it's all the things that you've worked with. How many years ago, 30 some years ago, Shakti Gawan wrote that book, Visualization. So we know that we can learn visualization. Visualization is just a form of imagination. It's just a form of imagination. So get all that working for you. Imagination is the only thing that's going to stretch your consciousness, by the way. It will stretch your consciousness. So use your imagination to do that for yourself. You want to stretch your thinking into a different area. You want your mind to grow up there and use more of this gray matter. Use your imagination to be able to do that. You see? In the 70s, they come up with the idea, remember, fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it. What does that mean? Imagine that you're already there. And imagine what it will feel like. And that's faking it till you make it. Metaphysics. Faking it till you make it. You have to keep affirming that what you want is already there. And you have to see yourself doing it. And we hear this constantly. That this is what people, successful people, said, oh, I always knew that was going to happen to me. I always saw myself doing that. You see? So you have to see yourself doing what you want to do. And you have to feel what you're doing, what all that is about. But it's always going to start inside of you, and it always has to be you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter before you start any affirmation, any treatment. Clear your mind and do that. Remember, one of the great masters, Jesus, what did he say? Go into your closet to pray. Also, forgive all those people. Forgive all those people. Don't have any hold, any grudges or anything when you're in doing your prayer work or your affirmation. So you have to forgive yourself, and you have to see yourself in that light. That you're worthy, deserving, totally level one, that you matter. And then you can make the demonstration, and the more you do that, the firmer that belief becomes inside of you. The firmer that belief becomes inside of you. Now everyone will say, oh yes, but I don't believe the same, and I don't this, that, and the other thing. I don't have enough faith. First of all, you only need a little bit of faith, size of a mustard seed. Everyone wants a great big shift. You don't have to have a great big shift. Small, very small degree of shift will immediately change your consciousness. One aha moment will change your whole consciousness. But it's all done by you, privately, inside of your own mind. You can change anything about yourself.
We have just told ourselves a story day after day after day until we start to believe that story about ourselves. Now we have to let that story go. We have to have our story match what we want to demonstrate. We have to do that. And then remember, we always live at the level of the demonstration that we're trying to make. You have to live at that level. It negates everything when you don't live at that level. If you say, money is always freely circulating in my life and I always have a divine surplus, and the check at a restaurant comes to you and you sit there debating, well, should I get 10%, 15%, 20%? Oh, that's too much to do this, that, and the other thing. You've just negated your whole affirmation. You just negated it yourself. Now, I'm not saying over tip, but tip. Give money, you see. I had a horrible thing in my own life where I thought, oh, well, that's too much for that. That's just too much for that. Seminar, $295. Well, I'd go if it was only $100. You have to get over that. And I had to get over that and realize that is what the cost is. That is what they want. Either pay it or shut up about it. But don't keep going, oh, if it was less, if it was this. Because what's that doing? It's negating your prosperity consciousness. It's absolutely negating it. They can ask any price they want. And if you want to pay it, you pay it. If you choose not to pay it, you don't go, that's all. But you don't complain. Because every time you do that, you negate that whole affirmation that you just made. So, worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Good evening. And with that, we'll do the matter dance.
Yes. Go.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
You came in at the perfect time.
Perfect time.
Perfect time.
You probably think for that.
You got up, though.
You got up and did it. I don't know you.
My name's Glenn.
Glenn, I'm Dallas.
Nice to meet you.
This is a metaphysical teaching. And you know that. And the name of it is Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. But we talk about everything else. Because it all dovetails together. And you cannot have a prosperity and abundance, including money, without the idea that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You can pray all day long till your knees get raw, and you won't get what you want. Because the universe backs you up in what you're thinking about yourself. So, believe about yourself and what you feel about yourself, the universe will back you up in that. But if you think I'm not worthy of this, you're not going to pray for it and get it. It won't work. It just won't work. So know those items, you see. Get them very solid. This has been Disney said, your head, in your body, in every fiber of your being, in every cell of your being, have that. So that when your mind stops for one moment, when you're in contemplation or something, immediately those items will come up. I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. They'll just come right to the surface. We have so many programs going on inside of us that we've invented ourselves that come up and tell us things all the time. And we think, oh, well, there, that's okay for them to come up. I can't do the worthy, deserving, totally lovable because I don't believe in it. You didn't believe in that other stuff either when you first started. A tape just doesn't come into your head unless you start to believe about it, unless you start to repeat it. And then it starts to do its work. So what we're learning here is to change our thinking about ourselves. Change our thinking about ourselves. not about money and everything. Remember, money is a byproduct. Money is a byproduct of these things. Once you know that you live in an abundant universe, a prosperous universe, and you see that all around you, money will automatically start to come to you. It will come to you because you know that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable, and that you matter enough to have that. That you have that in your life. So we have to give ourselves permission to do those things, and we have to give ourselves permission to have what we want in life. One of the big bugaboos that hold people up, they're waiting for somebody else to give them permission to have something. Don't wait for somebody else to give you permission to have something. They may never give you permission. You have to give yourself permission to have what you want. Very easy, very simple. With that, let's do a spiritual mind treatment. And I use the word spiritual mind treatment as just a word for prayer. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am truly connected to this thing that we call God. I'm connected to everything in the universe. In fact, I am made from stardust. I know that. I realize that. And I accept that into my life. And because I realize that I am connected to this thing that brings abundance and prosperity and money into my life, I allow it to happen to me. And I see it everywhere. And I feel wonderful. I feel great. My whole body just absolutely tingles when I think of how well off I am. What a rich life I am leading. I live an absolute elegance. And it's wonderful. And I allow that to be so. And so it is. Tonight's topic is the power of no. Now, we all heard of the power of now. And we know that there's a book out called The Power of Now, How to Stay in the Now. But I'm going to talk about the power of no. We have to be able to say no in this world and in our lives. No to ourselves. No to other people, and not feel guilty or ashamed about saying that. We're never under any obligation to say yes to somebody. But we think we are, because in polite society, we do not say no. So people invite you to things, and you think, oh, I have to go because I cannot say no to that. You have to be able to say no to anything in your life. And people don't know that they can say no. They think they have to go along with the group. They think they are afraid that they're going to hurt somebody. No, you have to be able to say no. I knew a young artist friend, and I invited him once to my house for brunch. And he called and he said, Dallas, I cannot come. I said, oh, really? He said, no, I am devoting the day to myself. Well, first my mind said, well, why turn me down? I give the best brunches in town. Why would anyone think of turning me down? But when I thought about it, I said, how wonderful that he was able to say no. I'm having a wonderful day by myself. I am giving myself this day. How many times have you wanted to give yourself a day and somebody calls and says, let's do something, and you go and do it instead of saying no? You see, I'm staying with myself today. I'm nourishing myself and pampering myself today. We have to be able to say no so that we can take care of ourselves. Now, when we don't say no, we start to resent the whole thing. And there's no sense showing up at a party or something that you don't want to go to with a poor attitude, you know. Just doesn't work. But people do that just absolutely constantly. One other time, a young man was doing something, I don't know what, and I said, could you help me with this, please? He said, no, I cannot do that. I have enough on my plate right now, and I cannot do that. I was offended at first, and then I thought, isn't that wonderful? I'm going to be able to say that now to people. Because don't we have a tendency to take on more and more and more and not say no, and then we're overloaded and so forth? But to say to somebody, no, my plate's overloaded right now. I cannot take on anything else. I thought that was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful to be able to say that. He didn't say it ugly. He didn't say it nasty. He just said, here, I have too much. So the answer is no. The answer is no. Then, how many times have you heard that expression? What part of no don't you understand? Because people, as soon as you say no, want to talk you out of that. Like that's the worst thing you can do. No, I'm not coming to the party. Well, you have to come to the party. And then they give you 90,000 reasons why you have to come. No, you have to go on this walk or to this movie. Or you have, you're spending too much time alone. And they'll come up with any excuse so that they don't want to hear no. And we think we offend people. I'm never offended now when somebody says no to me. I delight in it because I say, what self-confidence those people have. What else do they have? They know they're worthy, deserving, totally level one, that they matter. But they matter enough to themselves to say, no, I'm spending the day by myself. No, I have other plans to do. So we have to be able to say no. And we have to be able to say no to ourselves when our mind starts to tell us different things. We have to say no to the mind. No to the mind. Because it's always going to be bringing something up. And we love to see, what's it bringing up now? Well, I'll dilly-dally with that for a while and see where that never goes anywhere. So you might as well say, no, we're not going there. We're not going down that path. I've been there with you before. It's not a nice place to go. So no. But we don't say no. We don't say no. So there's a great power in the idea of being able to say no. A personal power that you gain. You gain a personal power from that. If you keep saying yes, 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 and yes to everything, when do you ever have time for yourself, and when do you start to respect yourself, you see? But our society says, we have to say yes to everything. We can't miss a party. We can't miss a meeting. We can't do this. We have to say, yada, yada, yada. No, you don't. You have to be able to say, no, my plate is full. I cannot take on any more right now. And I have an obligation to myself. An obligation to myself. You see, we're the only person that we have any obligation to. We're the ones who are dealing with our own integrity. And every time you do something that you don't want to do, you're not honoring your own integrity. You're not honoring your own self. You're trying to honor somebody else and some other thing going on in there. But we've never been taught. Years ago, there were all those classes on they weren't exactly on how to say no. They were on how to stand up for yourself. Remember, they had tons of classes on that so that you weren't intimidated by other people. And we have to go back and look at that stuff and say, do I use this word no enough in my life? You see. Or do I always say yes? And do I acquiesce into somebody else's event or whatever they're doing? And we have a tendency to do that. And when we do that, we're not taking time for ourselves. We're not taking time for ourselves. We have to take time for ourselves. How else are you ever going to fall in love with yourself if you don't spend time with yourself? You're not going to be able to do it. And this happens to be my big thing in this world is to teach people that they have to love themselves. That that is the basis of everything in your life. You can get all the education, you can have all the money, you can be have everything perfect. But if you don't love yourself, it means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Why is that? Let's go back a moment. We live in a mental world. We're living inside of our mind. We're living inside of our thinking. We're not living on the outside of the world. All this may look good and well out here, and we can fix up the outside of life just absolutely beautiful. But what's the sense of sitting in something that's absolutely beautiful if you feel ugly on the inside? You see? It will not work. You see? People think, well, if I fix this all up, if I live in beauty, then I will become that beauty. No. Beauty does not come this way. Beauty comes this way. Beauty comes out of you. Then, once you find that beauty, your surroundings change even more, and they do become beautiful. Because all of a sudden you see everything correctly. You see everything, which I like to refer to, through the eyes of love. You see? You have to see everything through the eyes of love. Years ago I went to a seminar. Sonia Ray. You remember Sonia Ray? She used to be with Leonard Orr, the Rebirther. And they did a little affirmation there, and it was, I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant being you. I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant being you. And we have to learn to do that. And we do that with our mind. Remember, the eyes see nothing. It's the mind that sees. We have to. I tell many clients, in the morning, put on your love glasses before you go out of the house. Now you have your love glasses on and you're looking through love, the lenses that you're looking through. So when you look through them, that's what we're doing anyway always. We're looking through a filter. What is the filter in your mind? Most people, what? Filter that you look through. People are awful. People are mean. People are hateful. People are just that way. Well, if you're looking through that filter, that's what you're going to see. If you put your love glasses on and start looking through, people are wonderful. People are loving. People are caring and sharing. Then it changes your whole way of looking at things. And you start to see those people. You start and you say, well, where were they? Well, they were there right all the time. But you could not see them. You could not see them because you're looking through another filter. So in the morning when you get up, think of that. I'm putting my love glasses on. I'm putting my love glasses on. Remember last week, I said one of the nicest things to do at nighttime is when you're emptying your pocket and taking off your clothes and you're getting orderly, take all negativity and all the stuff that went on during the day out of your mind also. And let it go. Just let it go. That day is gone. That day is gone. Nothing you can do about it. So then when you get up in the morning, you have a whole new day, a whole new clear day to start with. Why is this so important? Because we have a memory. And we think, oh, what happened yesterday has to happen today, and we drag that with us. You see, that's like the man who said, don't tell me I had 40 years of experience in this. Didn't have 40 years of experience in it. He had 1 year of experience and 39 years of repeating the same thing. Of repeating the same thing. And if you drag all that day, if you just keep dragging your day with you, that's all you have is that day. See, we can't make anything new. Every morning is a new beginning for you. Every morning the slate is clean. There's nothing on that slate when you wake up in the morning. Completely gone. Now you can write your life again each day. Each day you can write your life. Because every day is the first day of the rest of your life, which they made a song out of, didn't they? All these things we know, but we don't do them. And they're easy and simple things to do. Back to memory. This thing we call God does not have a memory. Does not have a memory. Only we have a memory. So, can you see now why we say God cannot forgive you, because God has never condemned you? God doesn't keep a scorecard of anything. Your mind does that, and it does that to you. So remember, God doesn't have a memory. What does God do? God makes all things new. Every day is a new day for God to create something. And that's what you have to remember about yourself. Every day is a new day for you to create something in your life. And you can't create a lot of things you want in your life because you do not say no. You say, oh yes, I'll go for coffee with that same group of people which I can't stand, but I'll go out with them anyway. Instead of saying, no, I'm not going. I'm doing something for myself. I'm going to learn something about me today. I can do it today and the next day. But each day then becomes something new and wonderful. Don't hold anything against yourself from the day before. From the day before. Remember in couples counseling and relationships counseling, they always say, don't go to bed angry. Before you go to bed, solve that problem that you're having with that relationship so that you can both sleep well and then know in the morning that it's gone. But in relationships and in life itself, we like to remember all those things. All those things. I came from a family that has a memory that stretches back to the beginning, I think. If you did anything in my house, they would remember that throughout your life. And they would bring it up many times. Remember when you did that. I was 6 years old. I had no idea what I was doing. But yet you're still remembering that and punishing me for that. And we do that to our own selves, don't we? You see, you can't punish that 6-year-old kid anymore because you're not 6 years old anymore and you're not that person anymore. See, you're not the same person you were when you woke up this morning. And you're not going to be the same person when you wake up tomorrow morning. So why are you punishing something that isn't there anymore? You see? The 6-year-old kid is not there anymore. So you don't go back and punish that. Some people, an incident happened 10 years ago. They're still punishing themselves for that incident. They weren't prepared 10 years ago. They didn't have the knowledge that they have today. If they had the knowledge they had today, and how many times have we said this, if I knew what I know today, I wouldn't have done those things. But you didn't. So you cannot punish yourself for that. You cannot punish yourself for that. You have to remember that every morning you start out fresh and completely innocent. And completely innocent of everything. And then during your day, you make the changes that didn't work the day before. But you don't pull that day into the next day. You see? It's too heavy. It's absolutely too heavy. Did anyone remember the movie The Mission? I ask this all the time and no one's ever seen it but me. The Mission. You remember The Mission? It was about the priests going in South America. And the one slaver killed his brother, and then he decided to become a monk or a priest. But his armor he carried with him, and he drug it through the jungle and up this waterfall and all this. One of the other priests said to the head guy, why don't you tell him to cut that? It would be much easier to cut the rope and let that go. He said, I can't do that. He must do that for himself. So you must cut your own rope. You must cut the ropes that are tying you back, that are holding you back. The ropes that are attached to all that stuff that you're pulling with you. Yesterday, what happened 10 years ago, all it, just reach back there, cut that rope, and let that go. And free yourself. You are not that person anymore. You are whole, new, and complete. Every minute, you're prepared to make yourself anew. That's what this thing called God does. God makes all things new. God makes you new every moment of every day. So, don't hold anything against yourself. It will not serve you one bit. And do not wait for somebody else to say, oh, you shouldn't do that. Or some church to forgive you. Because you know perfectly well, if you don't forgive yourself, you could have the Pope himself come. You could have God. And you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. You have to do it yourself. It's an inside job. It's a do-it-yourself project life. And you have to do it for yourself. You have to do these things. The world teaches that you have to run to somebody all the time. You know, I now know so many people that their kids are 6 years old and they're already in therapy. How could a 6-year-old kid be in therapy? What could a 6-year-old kid have done or been or that upset that they need therapy? You know, doesn't make sense to me. So don't hold things against yourself. Forgive yourself. Because this thing we call God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. You're the one that's judging yourself. This thing we call God is not doing that. So forgive yourself instantly. Forgive yourself so that you can start the next day anew and be alive in the next day. Otherwise, your life will just be the same day repeated over and over and over. I was telling the other night, I had a friend, don't have him any longer. Every time I called, I'd say, well, how's it going? Oh, same old, same old. Well, I thought, good. I don't need to call you anymore. I get the same response. Why do you want to hear that? I want to hear something different than that. We don't want the same old, same old. This is a wonderful experience that we're going through. This thing called life. And we have to learn to appreciate it. And we have to learn to live it fully. And learn to be able to get what we want out of life. And one of the ways to get what we want is to be able to say no. And know the power of the little word no. There's great power in it. And it will empower you. And that's the most marvelous thing. Being able to say no will empower you. Okay? I have some cards. Remember, I said earlier about enough. This is the affirmation I have done for years and years. And it is, I am enough, I have enough, and I do enough. And we have to remember that. Don't let the mind tell you. You know, you can work 18 hours a day, and your mind will say, you know, it would have been better if you'd worked one more hour. Or if you wouldn't have taken the lunch, things would be better. You can't do that. See, the mind will never. The mind will never tell you that you did a great job. Give up that idea that you're waiting for that to happen. But it's not going to happen. The mind is judgmental, and the mind is parental. You have to learn to control your own thinking and to be able to change that thinking that's going on. So you have to know that there's always enough time. You have to know that you're always enough, and you have to know that you always have enough of everything. There's always enough. Don't let your mind sit and say there isn't. You're saying there is always enough of everything to go around. We live in this country in such an affluent and commercial society. We are out there buying something all the time because the radio, the television, all advertisements tell you, you have to have this. You don't have enough. You see, you don't have enough. And you always have enough. So don't allow that to happen. And the people who say they don't have enough money, they're probably absolutely right, because they keep buying things that they don't need. You see? Yeah, because they don't think they have enough. So they keep buying stuff, and then they can make that statement. I don't have enough money. Of course you don't have enough money. You have 17 television sets in the house. How many can you watch? How many can you watch? You know, years ago I was my father, and I thought it was awful at the time. And now I think it's one of the most wonderful things a man ever said to me. When I was a child, I would say, Dad, I need a new pair of shoes. And he would say, do you have a pair of shoes? And I'd say, yes. He said, well, Dallas, you can only wear one pair at a time. You can only wear one pair at a time. So why do we think we need 17 pairs of shoes in the closet? Why do we think that we don't have enough shoes? Well, usually women, you know. Look at that lady in the Philippines, and she has 9 million pairs of shoes. Never enough for her. Never enough for her. But know that there's always enough. Okay. This one. You can create a new personal history for yourself. How do you like that? You can create a new personal history for yourself, focusing on all the time you were successful and did have a measure of abundance. You have to focus on those times. We focus on when we don't have anything. We focus on the lack and limitation. If you focus on lack and limitation, you're going to get lack and limitation. Let go of the stories of your past. Please, people, let go of the stories of the past. Listen, somebody once said, we don't know much about you, Del. You never talk about your past. Why would I talk about my past? It's done, over. I lived that, you see. You know, did you ever go to the house? I used to drink. You ever around drinkers? Don't they love to tell you what happened 10 years ago in their stories? And then I got to, then not only did they tell you what all that, the history and their stories and so forth, they told them verbatim. They never even changed one of the words in the stories that they would tell you. As soon as a few drinks in, that story would come right out. Now talk about a tape. If you think there aren't tapes running in, remember that one. And you've all sat down beside a drum. It'll tell you a story, and always exact same words. Exactly. It's just a tape going on. That's no way to live. To just have a tape spitting stuff out all the time. That's not you. That's not you. That is what I call an imitation of life. Many people are imitating life. They're not living life. They're imitating it. And you must learn to live life, not imitate life. Stories of your past that do not support the new picture of success and abundance you are creating. You see? You have to get that picture. You have to get that feeling of the new you, the new success. What you want. You have to do that. And then you can create your abundance. But you can't create abundance while you're still thinking of when you weren't successful, when you didn't have money. And some people love to tell that story. No, don't tell it to anyone. You can create a new personal history. Oops. Did I read that already? Must have. Yep.
Telling that story.
Sorry. It's a thing. Sorry. And these are affirmations. And if they resonate inside of you, use them. If they don't, change them till they do. Remember, it has to feel good inside of you. My affirmations feel good to me. So I use them. But if I give them to you and they don't feel good to you, you must change them, you know. The wonderful thing about this teaching, which I love, you can change anything about this teaching you want to change, because you have to make it personal. You have to make it personal. And it's never what Dallas said. Don't go out of here saying what Dallas said. Go out of here telling people what you said and what you think. Take all this information, not patented, none of it. It's not copyrighted. You may use anything I say, but make it yours. Make it yours. That's a gift I give to you. Make it yours. Because if you don't make it yours, you're telling somebody what I said. They don't even know me, but they know you. You see? So just make it you. Make everything that you talk about you when you're telling. Okay, I forgive myself knowing that I did the best I knew how at the time. You did the very best you knew how at the time. Now you have new information, better information. You can make a different decision. But you didn't have it then, did you? You didn't have it, you see? If I had known all the things that today that I knew, I wouldn't have done all the crazy things I did years ago. You know, wouldn't have done them. But I did them. Now, do I go back and mull over that and say, oh, I wish I had done something better? Heaven's sakes, no. Heaven's sakes, no. But I always remember and keep in the forefront of my mind is this. I drank for, oh, too many years. But I realized that this thing called God always gives you back the years that the locust ate. Always gives you back the years that the locust ate. So all that past that you think, oh, I shouldn't have wasted that time, I shouldn't have done that, it will be given back to you. It will be given back to you. When you learn that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. If I knew those four items, do you think I would have ever drank? Do you think I'd have smoked four packs of cigarettes a day? I don't think so. But because I didn't think I mattered, and who cared if I was on this planet or not, I thought, oh, well, I'll just keep smoking and drinking. Till finally, I discovered this teaching and things changed. And things changed. So God will give you back the years that the locust ate. And here's the most marvelous thing about that. Once those years are given back, you don't remember. You don't remember. I have to stretch my mind to remember. Other people say to me, do you remember when you do this? Did this? No. I don't remember. Why? Because I have let it go. It has no importance in my life whatsoever. So why do I want to even tell that story? So I don't tell a story. Just a story, just an event that went on. And I lived through it. And that's the most marvelous thing, that you can live through all of these things. You see? Everything in life is temporary. Everything in this plane of action is temporary. Everything here comes into existence to go out of existence. That's why we say it came to pay us. So if you're having financial troubles or troubles of anything, you sit down and you say to yourself, huh, came into my life to go out of my life. And if you hold on to it, it'll stay. If you know, it came into my life to go out of my life. That's everything. That's the good things, the bad things, the problems. Everything comes into your life to go out of your life. So, everything that comes into your life, you enjoy right now, knowing that it's going to go out of your life. But what else do you know with that? Because some people, oh, how about the idea? I stayed too long at the fair. You want it to go on. You want that infant to go on. No, you have to remember, as great as it was, as good as it was, I'm going to let go of it because I know I'm always moving from my good to my greater good. I know I'm always moving from glory to greater glory. But you cannot move while you're holding on to this and holding on to the past. Regardless of how bad it was, regardless of how good it was, doesn't matter. If you're holding it, you're stuck. You are stuck. And you cannot move to the greater good. And we're always doing that. So remember that. I give myself permission to have what I want in life. This is one of the biggies. People do not give themselves permission. I use this a great deal long before I got into hypnotherapy. And I learned it from my friend Betty. Do you want to stop smoking? Do you want to stop doing drugs? Do you want to stop doing anything? Sit down and give yourself permission. You never gave yourself permission to stop. Mm-hmm. You know, as soon as you give yourself permission to stop, you stop. See? But we can, oh, this is the way I am. I just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Once you say, oh, I'm giving myself permission to stop this. I'm giving myself permission to have money. I'm giving myself permission to have money because I know I'm a completely new and different person now. I'm a responsible person. I know exactly how to take care of money. And money comes to me right here and right now. You see? You just change that around for yourself. I am the source of my abundance. I am the source of my abundance. You are the source of your abundance. Remember, Emerson, Ralph Waldo said, man was born to be rich, or inevitably grows rich, by the use of his faculties. The abundance, the prosperity, and the money that you are looking for is within you. Everything that you're looking for is inside of you. What you are looking for, you are looking with. And we must look inside of ourselves. And we find that, okay? I focus on what I love, and thus draw it to me. Focus on what you love. Focus on the good things, not on the bad things. Years ago, I lived with an Italian family called the Brindisi's. And Mrs. Brindisi said to me, Dallas, you must remember, there's always enough good in somebody to cover up the bad. Look for the good in things. In yourself, look for the good. What do you do? What does your mind do when you sit down? It doesn't look for the good, does it? Brings up all the little bad things about yourself. And you think that's who you are. We all have a dark side. We all have a dark side. Don't go there. Look at the light side. Don't go. You see, that's a choice you have. Life boils down to this. It's a choice. Always going to be a choice. And the most marvelous thing about it is, once you make that choice, and you look at it and you say, this doesn't look right to me, you can choose again. You can choose again. And that's what people don't realize. They think, I made the choice, I have to stay in that choice. No, you do not. As soon as you realize that that was the wrong choice, you say, I have this wonderful power, I can choose again. So remember that. Anything that's going on in your life, any situation that's going on in your life is temporary. You come into existence, you go out of existence, and you can always choose again. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Dallas is available for hypnotherapy, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.